O Lord, have mercy. Amen.
Hear again the word of the Lord. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Greetings, dear Christians. This is the most holy night when our Lord's Passover begins, when he will bring his people out of captivity to sin, death, and the dominion of the devil through the shedding of his precious blood. Tonight he institutes his holy New Testament, which supersedes the Old Covenant in a most beautiful way. Let us consider tonight the readings under the passion, under the theme, Christ's death redeems us from the Old Covenant and gives us the New Testament. For by our Lord's death, he brings the Old Covenant to an end, and by his death, he brings into effect his last will and testament. In the book of Exodus, we hear of the wonderful rescue of the people of God by his mighty work. The first half of Exodus finds Israel saved by God out of Egypt through the working of the 10 plagues. God rained down his wrath upon the Egyptians, the captors and tormentors of his people, desiring their repentance, but achieving it in only a few precious occasions. Then, having freed them from Egypt, he led them out through the Red Sea and to his holy mountain, Mount Sinai. There he gave them the 10 commandments. And shortly after that, we heard our Old Testament reading this evening, which includes the institution of the Old Covenant by the blood of the covenant. Hear again that reading. Then Moses took the blood of the covenant and read it, took the book of the covenant, and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. What took place in our Old Testament lesson is a contract. If you've ever signed an employment contract, a lease, a mortgage, or something like that, you know how contracts work. Both parties agree to a set of requirements. These are the terms of agreement, or the terms and conditions. For example, with an employment contract, you agree to show up to work, and your employer agrees to pay you a certain wage. You agree with the bank in a mortgage to make your payments on time. With your landlord, you agree not to burn the house down, and your landlord agrees to fix the furnace every now and again. Now, in the event that one party in a contract dies, the contract may become null and void, depending on the terms of agreement. A lease might need to be renewed. A mortgage might need to be refinanced after the estate is settled. A new employee might get different terms than the last one. You get the picture. That's what a covenant is. A contract. It's an agreement between two parties with terms and conditions. Did you hear it in our Old Testament lesson? Israel agreed to the terms and conditions of a contract, of a covenant. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. They didn't quite understand what they were signing on to when they did. In a short time, they will break the terms and conditions quite horrendously when they set up and worship the golden calf. Over the centuries, Israel sinned in many and various ways, leading us to consider, why did God institute this covenant if he knew it would be broken very quickly after he established it? And another question, could anyone be saved under the terms and conditions of the old covenant? Now, if we want to question whether or not God knew that it would be broken, we must see from the scriptures that God is not ignorant of man's sin. We read already in Genesis 6, before the flood takes place, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That is to say, God was not ignorant of man's sin. God did not intend to save man by man's keeping of this contract. No, he intended to keep it himself, to redeem us from the wrath that was stored up for our breaking of the commandments, and to institute his new testament. Remember, a covenant, a contract, is void when one of the parties dies. Moses was long dead, as were all that generation at Mount Sinai when Jesus came along. But God, possessing a divine nature, does not die. And so the contract stood for all those years, for approximately 1,400 years, give or take. The contract stood for all that time until tonight. Because now, by the mystery of his holy incarnation, the Son of God has become man. Now the game has changed, because now God can die. Divinity, the divine nature, cannot die. But Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, possessing both a divine and human natures, he now can hunger and thirst, he can shed his blood, and he can die. It's scandalous, really. I mean, the Muslims mock us for this. But we should own the mystery, dear Christians. Tomorrow, God hangs dead upon the tree of the cross. And by his death, Jesus brings an end to the contract of death, under which everything was purified with his blood. Nothing was ever made, no conscience was ever made clean. And every priest must make daily atonement for his sins. But tonight, on the night when he is betrayed, he institutes his last will and testament, the Lord's Supper, or as he calls it tonight, the New Testament in his blood. Now, it's a fluke of English that we have two separate words, covenant and testament. In Greek, they're the same word, diatheke. And that has led to all sorts of confusion as we read our English translations of the Bible. But let's simplify a few things. In the words of institution, we read in Matthew 26 this evening, "And Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" This Greek word here, diatheke, is translated as covenant by most of our Bibles. But that obscures the precious gospel here in Christ's words. You see, the Lord's Supper is not a new contract. It's not a new law that we can mess up and render void. You're not left sitting at supper wondering if your burning of a candle is going to void your lease, or contemplating whether that market crash you keep hearing about is going to have the bank calling for your loan. See, the Lord's Supper is not a contract like that. It's not a contract the way the old covenant was. The Lord's Supper is a testament. That is, it is the final words of a man about to die, an enduring word for all time. Indeed, it is how his word is fulfilled that he speaks after his resurrection. "Lo, I am with you always till the end of the age." And what is that word that our Lord says tonight? What does he institute as his final will and testament? A sacred meal of his body that has been given over to death, and his blood that has been poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Remember, a covenant is void when one dies. A testament goes into effect when one dies. Thus, at the same moment when he says, "It is finished," and he dies, the old covenant is fulfilled, and made void, for its giver dies. He tears the curtain of the earthly holy of holies in two, and the earthly temple will be destroyed. And at the same time, the New Testament is sealed and inaugurated, for its giver dies. And he enters into the heavenly holy of holies with his own blood, and he is our temple now and forever. Dear Christians, this is the most holy night when our Lord's Passover began, when he brought his people out of captivity to sin, death, and the power of the devil by the shedding of his precious blood. Tonight he institutes his New Testament for us, Christians, to eat and to drink. Tomorrow night we will hear more of what he does in the Holy of Holies as our great high priest. But tonight, all those who have been instructed in the Christian faith and instructed and received at the altar here may recline at the Lord's table and rejoice that by his death he wins for you eternal life. And here in his sacrament, he gives his body and blood for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.